And I thought you were going to shout it. Builders and what? We are builders and we are conquerors. Hallelujah. I heard a testimony from a mother of one of you that attends church service. She's presently doing NYC somewhere. And the only church she can attend is this online, because she's in one bush somewhere. Far away from the city. There's no way she could attend church. But she said every Tuesday, every Sunday, she's online. She will have gotten her phone charged and she's just prepared to be blessed. Let's put our hands together for Jesus, for this wonderful technology. No matter what anybody says about technology, it's good. Amen. It's promoting. It depends on what you use it for. And where are you going to? You and I, we're going to use it to promote Jesus, to promote the gospel wherever we find ourselves, and use it to our advantage. And so nobody has any excuse anywhere. Nobody, actually. You just need to know what you want and get on the internet, and here you go. You find it and you can use it for your benefit. Praise God. There was a book I read, and I read again, and recently I asked my husband, I said, I want that book. It was titled Signposts on the Way to Success. How many of you have seen it? All right. It's been an age-long book written by E.W. Kenyon. It's a very good book. I'm just taking the title, Signposts. Signposts are that are put on the roads at different intersections to give you direction, to cause you to be aware, so that you know what to do. It's not so common here, but if you go abroad and you're driving, signpost is very essential. It's very essential. In fact, there's no way you can drive successfully without those signposts. And they make life so easy. My first time of driving in America, I enjoyed it. The roads are wide. There's so many signposts here and there. I really enjoyed it. It's only UK that I'd never tried to drive. Their vehicles are small. Their roads are narrow, though there are signposts. This morning, I just want to share with you what I call signposts for life. One of those signposts for life that will encourage you, that will help you in whatever relationships that you get to. That you get yourself involved with. Whether it's friend to friend, brothers and sisters in Christ, in your place of work, with your parents, with your spouse when you eventually marry. It's going to help you. It's going to help you. It's one of those signposts that they are always needed throughout life. There are some things, that some skills in relationship that you just use because you are single. Maybe how to get a lady or how to get the right guy. Once you are married, you don't need such. But this one is something that you need for life. So listen, and listen very attentively. James chapter 1, verse 19. James 1, 19. Give it to us in, there's one word I want us to see there. In KJV. I want to see something in KJV. NLT. There's a particular word I want to start with. Yeah. It says, understand this. Everybody say, understand. What you understand is what you can stand on. When you understand a principle, it works for you. You make it work for you because you understand it. And it becomes like a carpenter using his tools or a mechanic using his tools. Because they understand when a mechanic is at work and he says, give me that, there's a way they call it. Give me 12 flats. The boy or whoever is working with him, an assistant, knows 12 flats. You don't know 12 flats, do you? Except you have a... There's 12 flats, there's 12 round. There are two different tools. And they do different job. So if he needs a 12 flat, if he puts 12 round, it's not going to work. Say, understand this. That mechanic has an understanding that I need this to make this work. And this thing that we're sharing this morning, that I'm going to talk about, is something that you need to understand. And take it like one of those principles of life. One of the principles of life is whatever goes up, are you here? Whatever goes up, talk now. This is Builders and Conquerors service now. Whatever goes up will come down. That's the principle of life. And you have the understanding. And with that understanding, you maneuver yourself. If you go to an area where he's not guided, no rail, and he's on the third floor, you don't go near the edge of the floor. You stay away because you know that you have the understanding that if you sleep, you are not going to float. You are not going to float. Neither are you going to go up. You're going to go down. Because of that understanding, you guide yourself. So that's one thing I want you to know, that what we'll be talking about is you need to understand this and be able to practice it. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. And what does he want us to understand? You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Those are the three things we're going to focus on. He says, you must understand this in your relationships, in relating with people, wherever you find yourself. These are some of the tools that you must have. Like you have your pen. As a lawyer, you write and write and write. You understand it. If you're a doctor, you go around with your stethoscope. It's always around you. He says, understand this. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Let's start with the first one. One of the things that you need to be able to prosper in your relationships and handle your relationships well is learning and practicing being quick to listen or quick to hear. Let's go back to NKJV. It says, every one of you, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That word swift means to be quick. To be quick to hear. To hear, to listen, to understand what whoever is talking to you, whoever is giving you instruction, whoever you are communicating with, one skill that you must learn and develop is to be able to understand, to hear them. To hear. Do you know that you will never find somebody who does not hear that is able to speak? A deaf person automatically will have speech impediments, cannot communicate well. And that's why it's so crucial. I mean, if you go to some Western nation, when a baby is born today, let me make you laugh. When our first granddaughter was born, in the hospital where she was born, they came around and said, you know, they were doing all kinds of tests, and they said they were going to do hearing tests. And hearing test was going to cost like maybe about $250 or $300. So the father and the mother, they look and say, hearing test. You better ask you what? There's nothing like hearing test. Then why should I pay so much? But do you know, they had to sign. There was a paper they had to sign to say, we are the one declined to have this test for our baby. Because it was so crucial an examination or a test that must be done on every baby that is born in that particular state in the U.S. So the mother had to sign. Said, "Don't worry, I don't. My baby will hear. This is a baby I've confessed, I've prayed over." Then I think, was it a day after or that same day, a nurse came into the room and dragged something. So the baby just jumped. So the father said, "That's my baby hearing test. My baby can hear. I didn't have to pay. I don't have to pay $350. It was one ridiculous, well, ridiculous to us because they were counting in Naira. They were not living there. They were not hanging there. So it was a lot of money. Well, but I understood the fact that the reason why they wanted to be able to, the reason why they were doing the test was to ensure that a baby can hear. The baby does not have any hearing defects. Because when a baby has hearing defects, it will affect the speech. It will affect the growth. It will affect the development of that child. So it's very essential. And there's no way you can relate well with people without hearing them, without listening. One of the problems in marital relationship and virtually all relationship is communication. Somebody is talking, but the other person is not hearing. And when I say hearing, I'm not saying just the vowels or the syllables or the sound. No. You are not, you don't get that person. You are not on the same page. And when you are not on the same page, there's no way you can carry out the instruction or follow through with whatsoever the person is saying. So it's essential for us to learn how to hear. How to hear people. Sometimes people are talking, you don't understand. Why? Because you have not heard that person. So learning to be swift to hear is a skill that you must develop as a person who wants to relate well, who wants to get across information, who wants people to understand him or her. It's something that you must learn. He said, let every man be swift to hear. When somebody is talking with you, there's first of all what we call eye contact. That's one of the things that help us in hearing well. When you don't give attention, sometimes, when we're talking like this, I pause to say, are you here? I try to get your attention because one of the ways of you hearing what I'm saying is to give me eye contact. So in learning to be swift to hear, you must be able to give eye contact to that person. So give attention, because when you are giving eye contact, you are giving attention. And when you are giving attention, you are most likely to get the information or get whatsoever that person is trying to say. So when you are talking with somebody or somebody is talking with you and you're on your phone, you are likely not to hear that person very well. I think it was how many days ago, my husband said, "Dear, actually was sending a message, then he wanted to talk to me. Then he saw I was not trying to multitask. I was listening, I was typing the message. Then he said, "Dear, stop. You see that I wait for you to finish whatever you're doing, then I get across to you, or you have to stop what you're doing. But I won't have to stop. Let me just wait." Because a lot of things are left out when we don't pay attention. When we don't pay attention. And when you don't pay attention, there's no way you can carry out the instruction. Whether in your place of work or your relationship, whoever, you must learn. It says, let every man learn or be swift to hear. So quickly understand. When you can understand whoever is talking to you, it helps you to be able to carry out the instruction. It helps you to be able to understand that person. Because when I hear and I understand, I can give thoughtful attention. I can be on the same page. I can converse intelligently because I've heard the person. I understand what the person is saying. Beyond what that person has said, when I give attention, I get a whole lot of things. So it's a skill that you must learn. It's a skill that you must learn and keep practicing. And, you know, I said eye contact. One of the things that you do when you want to hear very well, you give eye contact. Another thing is to let that person know that you are listening. I can be talking to you. I see that a lot in church. When you're talking to somebody and the person is like this, somebody is talking to you and, you know, your body language, your attention, things like that. The person may just decide, oh, that person is not a serious person. It's not a serious person because you are not paying attention. The one way to ensure that you have heard is to ask, did you say this and that? Is this what you meant? Do you mean this? Say it to that. That's the only way you can. And, you know, sometimes you think you have heard, and it's something else that you have heard. You know, that causes a whole lot of argument between husband and wives. When they get, I mean, married people. You will hear that, I said this. No, I didn't hear that. You said this when? Me, I didn't hear. You said this. No, I didn't hear that. This is what I heard. So, one of the best ways of making sure that you have heard is to ask. You mean I should do this? You can't imagine how far this can cause trouble in relationships, especially marital relationship, or sometimes even at places of work. Oh, I told you to give that person 5,000. And probably you didn't hear very well. You now get 50,000. They both start with 5. But there's 0 after 1. And the difference is 45. So you can ask, oh, did you say, what do you mean? Then it shows that you are learning. You are being swift to hear, to give attention. It's a skill that you must develop. It's a skill that you must keep working on so that you can be a better communicator. So that your communication skill can be so good that, you have passed the message across and the person understood you and understood you well. Then that person will be able to carry out whatever instruction or do whatever he or she is being asked to do. But if you don't hear well, you'll not be able to do well. If you look at Old Testament, you hear that word a lot. I can't even count how many here. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, for instance, give us verse 1. This was God saying. He says, Deuteronomy 28:1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. In KJV, what does it say? That diligently obey. Yeah. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken to hear diligently the voice of the Lord. And of course, the best person that you should be swift to hear or give attention to is God. To understand what God is saying. To give attention to God's word. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, give attention. My son, listen. 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 If you're going to go far with God, you must learn to listen to him. So give attention to whatever he says, such that you can carry it out. And in your relationships, learn how to listen. Be quick to hear. Work on yourself so that you hear, you understand. understand your parents. Understand the instructions they are giving to you. Understand where they are. Be swift. And tell yourself, I'll be swift. And let me tell your neighbor, be quick to hear. A lot depends on your being able to hear. A lot. In fact, the whole of your life depends on being able to hear and to do. So, it's something that you must work on. Sometimes we are lazy. Sometimes, you know, you don't give attention to what you're supposed to give attention to. You are not hearing what you're supposed to hear. But you must be able to improve and get better, to give attention to the, especially the things that are very important to your life. God is important. Your relationships are important. So you must develop this. So give attention to what people say. You know, in church, we sometimes during announcement, people just tune off. They don't listen. They don't listen. You give instruction, maybe it doesn't, and you don't know when or where. Because when you cultivate that aspect, I mean, when you cultivate that habit, it will not only affect you in church, it will affect other areas of your life. So, cultivate listening. Learn how to listen. Be quick, be swift to hear. Praise God. Amen. What's the second one? James 1:19. What's the second skill that you must improve on? James 1:19. It says, let every man be swift to hear. You know, there's a story that we'll read later if time permits us. To be swift, to be quick, to be able to decipher. Oh, they said this, they said that. And when we say listen or be quick to hear, sometimes it may be an information that you're reading. About 2 weeks ago, I just read that news. Oh, they seized so number of truckloads of rice in Ogun State. Because I heard that, I jump up. I said, I must buy some. Because I know that what that means is the price of rice was going to jump up. And what I was able to get for 42,000 naira that day later became 48,000, 50,000 for a bag of rice. But I was swift to hear. So I was able to cut that cost. So please hear. Think about what you hear. What people tell you about themselves so that you can able to relate. It says, be slow to speak. That word, swift and slow, they are opposites. Swift means quick. Slow means drag. Drag yourself. When it comes to listening, run. When it comes to speaking, become a tortoise. Be slow to speak. You have to cultivate that. Be slow to speak. What does it mean to be slow? That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm not talking at the rate at which I was talking earlier. Be slow to speak. It doesn't mean that you don't know what to say. But you are cautioning yourself. You are holding yourself back from speaking. You know that it is better to err on the side of not speaking than to speak too much. There's one that day they used to say in Yoruba land. You know, I mentioned tortoise now. That tortoise said, since the day he learned how to say, oh, he stopped getting into trouble with people. How many of you have heard this before? All of you are Lagos, Southwest. You don't understand proverbs. In Japan, he just wants to go, ogbon, oh. This one will come and say, ah, oh. Oh, then he stopped getting into trouble. That's one skill you must learn. To speak less. Tell your neighbor, speak less. Speak less. It doesn't say don't talk. When I say speak less, it means the rate at which you get information out or comment or talk, especially about others, about things that don't concern you, about things that don't matter to you, about other people especially. Learn to speak less. I've, in my few years of living, I've come to conclusions about some issues. Number one, when it comes to reported speech, nobody can accurately quote exactly what you have said without plus or minus. Even with the best intentions, I don't mean, you know, ungodly people, wicked people who really want to twist. That's even another category. Who will twist your word to get you into trouble? But even with best intention, that's why you can't come to me as husband and wife and you tell me, and yeah, my husband is even, I believe you, and at the same time, I don't believe you. Until I hear from your husband. I believe you, but it's not the truth. It's not the absolute. Because by the time that person will come and say his own part, Paul said, while he was talking about love, he says, we know in part, we prophesy or we speak in part. Nobody can quote you exactly. So, when you want to talk, be sure that it's something that you can defend. In case it gets you to the wrong hands or wrong situation or wrong person that want to take it against you. Be sure it's something that you'll be able to say, yes, I said that because I know this and so and so. But to avoid trouble with people, especially in your home, in relating with others, in your place of work, talk less. Talk less. Let me tell your neighbor, speak less. Proverbs 21:23, it says this. When you guard your mouth, you are guarding your life. He said, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps what? Keeps his soul from troubles. You keep your soul from trouble when you learn to guard your mouth and guard your tongue. That is what comes out of this buccal cavity. You have control over it. Guard your mouth. You will be keeping your soul from a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble, you know, that, oh, I didn't mean that. That's not what I said. Oh, that person betrayed me. Guard your mouth. Guard what comes from your mouth. Don't speak everything. Don't say it all. Don't say it all. Just be cool, be calm. It's better for anybody to say, oh, that girl or that guy, he doesn't. That guy that I said, do you know when I find any man, you know, ladies are known for talking. Men, they don't talk much. But when I find a man that talks, I run away. What I mean, that talks. That will explain, in January 2023, on the first day of the week, that's real trouble. You know, when ladies do that, you know that's part of the nature. Even at that, you have to control. But when a guy can talk, when he can express, when he can, God bless you if you're in a relationship with such. Nobody said amen. Guard your mouth. Don't say it all. Just be cool. Just be calm. You are meeting somebody for the first time. You don't even know the person. You are just going out on a first date. And the person knows everything about you. That's not wisdom. Ah, you say, you talk about your father, you talk about your mother, you talk about your siblings, you talk about this, you talk about that. Somebody went out on a date sometimes. And you know what the guy said? Ah, that lady talks. I know we talk as ladies, but then control yourself. Comport yourself. It's a sign, sometimes it's a sign of immaturity. Everywhere. Eh? I have just 9 minutes more. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 13:3. NLT. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. How many of you want your life preserved? You want your money preserved? You want your... It says, guard your mouth. But he who opens wide his lips shall have what? Destruction. Give it to us in NLT. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Everything. Especially when you are angry, when you are upset. It says, when you control your tongue, you have what? Long life. How many of you want long life? This is one of the keys. I read the story of a man that lived for so long. His life was intact. His teeth intact. His health was good. And they asked him, what's your secret? He said, one of my secrets is I ask God to help me keep this thing under my nose. I ask God to help me keep this thing under my nose. Be cool, be calm. Choose your words. You speak when you need to speak. And your words will carry weight because you are speaking with intention. You're not just blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it was Solomon that said, in the multitude of words, sin is not found wanting. When you speak too much, sin, you will sin. I've told you before, I used to have a friend who just... When I'm going to visit, I'll be praying. Ah, God, I don't want to sin. I don't want to talk about what is... By the time I'm coming out of that place, I'm repenting. So I've been there. When you talk, when you want to be like, oh, you know everything about everything, you will get into sin. They want to talk about Sinumbu, you know everything. Talk about our governor, you know everything. Talk about your boss, you know everything. Talk. You are going to get into trouble. Say, opening your mouth can ruin everything. Can ruin everything. So, cultivate that. Talk less. And don't backbite. Backbite is talking evil behind people. Don't use your mouth for that. Lastly, let's look at Proverbs 17. 27, 28, and 28. Proverbs 17. He who has knowledge, what does he do? Spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. He says, he who has knowledge spares his word. That is sparingly. You don't talk to the extent that they don't take your words as serious. But even a fool is counted wise. When he holds his peace, when he shuts his lips, he's considered what? Perspective. And we say it, empty barrels makes a lot of noise. But a barrel that is loaded, when you push it or you bang it, you don't hear so much noise. So a wise person will look at you, that guy, she's just blah, blah, blah. That guy, blah, blah, blah. Just stay away. There are some people, when I'm around them, I know what I say. There are some people I can easily talk and converse, you know. But there are some people I don't talk around them. Why? Because what they hear from me, they won't know when they will blow it out. And I know there's no way they can say it exactly They can't quote me correctly. Ah! And if there's one of the things I've asked God to help me in Rock Foundation Church over the years, 27 years, nobody can go around and say, hey, Pastor Miss said this. Pastor Miss said, I don't, because I'm very careful what I say. Even to husband and wives, to people in relationship, because I know what it can cause. You open your mouth wide, you ruin so much things. I don't want to, you know, there's even one scripture that talks about even when you are in a fight, you don't divulge other people's secrets. Just because you want to prove a point that you are right. You say, even so, even this. No, you don't need that. Bible says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything outside that is of the devil. That's what Christ said. You don't have to, you know, open up somebody's secrets or information that the person has given you just because you want to prove a point or because you want to talk. Talk less. I don't mean that you now go around and say, they said I should talk less. You get to your place of work, they give you work to do. They have told me to talk less, so I won't talk. No, that's not what I mean. You talk when you need to talk. You give information that is required, that is needed. You don't go outside the boundaries. And you comport yourself with the information that you are giving out. You know that, okay, this is the person I need to talk to. You say what you need to say. That's all. But church, especially for us girls, we talk, we gist. And one day, you know, I was talking one day. I was talking, and God said to me, I can't remember whether it was time of Buhari or whoever. That was a long time ago. And I just heard God said, were you there? So Jue. You know, sometimes the way we talk about what is happening in the presidency, what is happening in Okemoson, what is this and that. Ah, what's up, you were not there. Something that's happening in your department. You just go, and you get into trouble. And one of the reasons why God said we should talk less, you know, he said, words are like eggs. Once they break, you can't put them together. Something that somebody heard that you said about him or her, before you'll be able to erase that impression that you created, sometimes you may not even have another chance to erase such impression. So that's why you have to be careful. Especially because you are a child of God and you represent Christ wherever you find yourself. And in that relationship, you represent Christ. All the times that my husband and I, we had issues. When we talk about the fact that we fought when we were married, we never had to look at ourselves and call ourselves by names and say all horrible things about ourselves. No. Somebody will say, look at you. Did they train you very well? And what will you say? You yourself, we are coming to that. You now say, they didn't train me well. Your sister that were trained well. And your sister-in-law will hear that. So next time she comes to your house, she's going to give you a beautiful hug and bring gifts to your house. Is that what she would do? Then our mother, you say, let no more here. And you know, be slow. Learn now. What is just your friend? Just talk and don't talk. And I'm going to give a piece of my mind. If that mind is sound and solid, give it. But don't give a piece of ugly mind. Bible says, let wholesome talk come from your mouth that will edify the hearers. That's your aim. That's what you are looking forward to. Then let's look at the last one. My time is up. Did you change the timer? When did 38 minutes become zero? What's the last one? James 1:19. Slow to do what? Nobody's talking. Slow to get angry. Don't get angry. Is that what it says? No. It says slow. The same word, opposite of swift. This applies to men especially. You know, they're talking. Though all of us, we go through all these things. But some things are just peculiar to some genders. As a man, start to test yourself now and train yourself, even as a woman too, that you don't quickly get angry. You don't quickly get so offended that you are hungry. Oh, that person. And you want to let out the anger. You want to do exactly or much more than what they have done for you. Learn it now, because that sweet babe will get you angry. Don't drop your head. I'm telling you the truth. That sweet babe that... she looks as if she's an angel now. Yes, she's an angel. But the angel, human angel, can make other people angry. Intentionally and unintentionally. By mistakes. Because we're not perfect. You're going to find an angry boss, a boss that will, you know, offend you. You're going to find a colleague. And don't think it's only in Nigeria. Everywhere you go. When I was in Canada, early part of this year, I heard about someone who went to his office. In his office, he was new in the place. And wanted an information. He's like, he wanted to do something and just needed a confirmation from somebody who had been there before. That, is it all right for me to do this one? And do you know what the person said? He said, why are you asking me? The way I'm looking at you, you're not going to pass. You're not going to go through your probation. How can you not know this? And walked away in Canada. So for those of us, I say, my boss is this, my colleagues are that. So the person felt so dejected, so bad. Say, how? I mean, that was very discouraging. But what are you going to do? Slow to get angry. You are going to find people. Your in-laws to be will offend you. Your friends will offend you. Who else will offend you? Your children will offend you. Have you not offended your parents? Eh? All of you, you have been perfect, wonderful kids to your parents. And your parents are always shouting hallelujah when they see you. So why do you think your children... I laugh on Facebook when I used to watch Facebook a lot. You will find mothers on their children's birthday. Oh, my angel. Oh, my light. My love. The love of my life. The clinical for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I say, wait. They are angels now. Let them become 6 or 7 or 8. Then you will see the devil or demonic part of every human being. So be prepared. That's part of, you know, skills that you need to know, to have. That nobody is perfect. People are going to offend you. So are you going to be getting mad every day, everywhere? Your wife offends you at home, you get mad. You get so angry. You get to a place of war. In fact, the anger that you are bringing will cause another person to offend you. Customers will offend you. Clients will offend you. But it says, be slow to get angry. Be slow. Caution yourself. Don't take it up with everybody. Don't take it up. Don't quickly dissipate. Don't quickly show. Don't quickly, I must. No, calm down. Let me tell your neighbor, you know, that's video of that boy. Mommy, be calming down. I mean, mommy, calm down. The mother was so angry. Mommy, be calming down. Be calming down. Let me tell your neighbor, calm down. Calm down. It's part of life. Calm down. We get angry when people offend us, when they do what we're not supposed to do. Sometimes you even get angry. Some people will get angry with you. And say all kinds of things. If you don't get angry when wrong is done, then something is wrong with you. If somebody misunderstood you, quoted you wrongly or did awful things to you, your boss looks at you and says, stupid you. If you don't get angry, we need to check you up. Something will rise up within you that you feel like, give it to him or give it to her. Who born you? Is it because I'm... And when you do that, what happens? You get a query following day. Or if it's the CEO, shows you the way out, and you join the labor market, I'll be on the employment market again, and start searching for a job. Or when it's the issue of, you know, relationships, maybe somebody you are dating or somebody you are married to, then you quit. Then where will you find the one that will not ever get you angry? In heaven. But you're not ready to go to heaven. Are you? Praise God. So be slow. Just take it easy. 1 Peter 2, let's look at 23. One of the things that makes us to really want to, you know, be quick in anger, this is it. He says, who, when he was reviled, talking about Jesus, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. When you give revile for reviling, you're not better than the other person. He said, he did not revile in return. So when somebody is angry with you or somebody has offended you and you do the same thing, to revile means to talk down on you, to speak unkind words to you, berate you, and make you feel as if, you know, you're a nobody. It develops resentment. Something rises up against you. You want to defend yourself. You want to talk back. You want to calm down. I never had peace in my home in the first few years because my husband would get angry and I would get angry the same thing. But later on, when I started, you know, to read the word in order to do, I found out that no two people can be angry at the same time and they will make progress. Something happened, even when I was an unbeliever, there was a day I used to have a friend. You know, the man that I said, I told you that my mom, that became our guardian after my father died, one of the Baba's children, was my friend. So there was one day we had misunderstanding. I was in the house, we had misunderstanding, and one of their tenants came and said that word, and it has talked to me over the years, even though I didn't remember that when I was. But that woman said to me, said, when you are in a relationship, sometimes somebody is a goat. He said, somebody is behaving like a goat, then you have to behave like a sheep. He said, when both of you are both goaty, you will knock yourself to death. And that's one thing that you must hold on. When somebody is angry, especially somebody that is your superior, that is your boss, your husband, your parents, when they're angry, that's not the time for you to be angry. If you show anger, display anger, you are showing stupidity. That's time for you to slow down, be calm. Your boss is angry, blah, 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 and says all of them. That's going to close your mouth. Your fiance is angry and he's talking and says, and you want to say, me, talk to me. Now, as I will tell you, I used to be like, he will say, he will get angry because I've done something or I didn't do something. And he will get angry. And I wanted to prove to him he had no right to be angry. And before he says 1, 2, 3, I've said, I've gotten to Z. Then the communication will break down. Then I'll have to go back and start begging. And when I start to beg, my mother said, if this is the way you were, when I was telling you, there wouldn't have been any trouble. In fact, there was a time, his slogan was, I wish there's a video recorder in this house. I wish there would be a video recorder so that you can play back and see yourself. Then when God started helping me, when he gets angry for whatever reason, maybe the children or the staff or whoever, I just keep quiet. I may be, just calm down. And when I'm practicing that, I don't speak. I don't talk as much as possible. I don't try to explain. That's not the time for you to explain. You may even be picked wrongly, but that's not the best time. I said we're going to look at the story. You know, because of time, I'll just paraphrase it. David was in the bush in 1 Samuel. Is it chapter 25 or chapter 26 now? Let me look for it. Okay, 1 Samuel 25. David was in the bush. Mercenaries. He needed food supplies because they had kept watch over a certain man's, livestock and all of that. He just felt, well, give us. I think that was the practice then. Nabal. So when they got to Nabal's place, Nabal said, who is David? He was slow to hear. He was quick to speak. And he was quick to get angry. So those ones just said, okay. They went back to David. David, we delivered your message. This is what the man said. Then David too was quick to get angry. That man, his life is going. He mounted his, said, let's go. But some people went and reported to Abigail. Abigail was quick to hear. She was slow to speak. If it was some modern day women, they would have started the story of his life. She would have started the story of his life for Naba. She would have sort of gone to Naba, abuse him, talk. Whereas David would have. She left that one and went to David. She didn't wait for David to come. She ran. Of course, it's not as if David gave them money to do business. That is not asking for ROI, return on investment. But while you are still debating whether it was legal or illegal, hundreds of people will have been killed. Remember, it will ruin. Open your mouth and ruin everything. By the time she got to David, give us verse 20, 1 Samuel 25, I think verse 23, for verse 23. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. That was a wise woman. So she fell at his feet and said, oh, on me, my Lord, on me, let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this crime, Nabal, for as his name is blah, 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 blah. When you get home, go and read it. That's wisdom from that woman. You know, no matter how much somebody is angry, when you become skillful, you can bring down anybody from level of anger. No matter how angry the person is. By what you say. By what you say. By your response. Whether verbal or non-verbal. Somebody might be angry and feel mean, just like David. But look at that woman. She knelt there. Please, I beg you. It is on me. Hold me responsible. And she began to talk deeper. That, Lord, this man, he has wronged you. But I know God has plans for you. I know God has been helping you. And God is going to help you. You are going to get to that throne as God has promised you. As if she was there when God promised. But she was able to communicate with the heart of David. Before she could finish, David said, no, I'm not killing anybody. And was David ended up thanking her. She had brought supplies. What else? And she put it there. Please, when you get to your throne, remember me. And she got as she wished. What am I trying to say? If you're going to be married I'm married. Start to practice it now. Somebody comes, a customer comes to even though it's not just marriage, do business and go higher. Comes and raking, blah, blah, blah. Now you say, hello, lewa son. How much did you pay for this? You are not just losing her as a customer. You have lost all her contacts. Every other person that will. Not only that, she's going to go all around town. I trust us women. And tell everybody how terrible you are as a person. Even when she was wrong. But somebody comes and says, how? Oh, I'm so sorry. What do you want me to do about this? Please, 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 please. And this and that and that. I'm going to, no matter the anger, the person calms down and you get your job done and the person will come back. They will even forget about what has happened. Say, that girl, she's well trained. That guy is a good guy. Why? Because you are learning the skill. We round up with this. Proverbs 15:1 and 25:15. You're going to look at both of them. But Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer, what does it do? Turns away wrath. But a harsh word, it stirs up more anger. Your friend is already angry. Oh, you forgot my birthday. You didn't even call me. You say, and so what? Or you say, did you remember my own? So what that translates is, so because I didn't remember your own, is that why? But that's not actually what you meant. But, my friend, sorry, I'm so sorry. You have gained a friend. You have improved in your relationship. And you are learning the skill. 25:15 now. He said, by long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded. What treats me more? It says, a gentle tongue. What does it break? A bone. A gentle tongue. A gentle tongue can break a bone. So no matter how harsh or hard that person may be, it says, a gentle tongue. Speaking gently. Speaking with wisdom. Start to learn it now. It will help you as you climb in life, as you improve, as you expand in your relationships. Now, is you alone as a single person? You're starting business. In the area of your business, it's going to go higher, or in the area of your career, you're going to climb. You're going to have other people that will come behind you that you have to manage. It's going to expand. In the areas of relationship, maybe you just have two or three friends now. Before you know it, friends will increase. You want to think of marriage, that's another family. I hope you're not one of those people that is praying that you don't have in-laws. I hope so. Now, I don't want anybody to give me stress. So I wish that my mother-in-law will have been in heaven by the time we marry. That's on people's prayer. It's going to expand. You have sisters-in-law. Your husband will have friends. So being able to manage and have that skill is going to help you. Praise God. He says, a gentle tongue. Give it to us in a message. He says, patient, persistent, pierces through indifference. Gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. So start to practice when? When? Yesterday. Start to practice. Keep your mouth shut. Talk intentionally. And talk with wisdom. And don't backbite. Men, start to work on your anger now. You get angry, you walk away. You get angry, you break things. You get angry, God will help us in the name of Jesus. Let's welcome Senior Pastor.